Hallelujah. Just think about this for just a second. It's described in the book of Revelation how that all of a sudden in heaven, they start to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And everybody gets the attention. Everybody goes, what was that? What was that? What was that? And they all at once fall down before Him. And they throw the crowns at His feet. And they just give Him glory and honor for how good He is, how majestic He is, how awesome He is. Hallelujah. That song just slays me sometimes. It's just like, holy, holy, holy. All of heaven's roar. Can you just imagine? Millions upon millions upon millions. The Bible describes it as a sea of people. All in unison cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Do you know why? That everybody up there will have the testimony that God has been good to me. I didn't see it all when I was down there. I didn't see His hand upon me when things weren't going right, but I see it now, and I see it clearly that the Holy God is with me. He's for me. He's brought me the whole way. Hallelujah. I know that everybody in this room has gone through some things, right? We've all gone, but listen, I believe it's all worth it now, but I believe it's all worth it. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be like, that was nothing. Compared to this, that was nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. I want to tell you a little testimony before we get started. You know, testimonies are nothing but just telling how good God is, right? That's what a testimony is. I'm just going to tell on God this morning. It's really a silly thing. But God is in the details, right? For about a week, I've lost the keys to the church here, the church building. And I thought, man, I'm really careful with them. I thought, how could I have lost them? And I threw my mind, and I asked Donnie if, you know, because sometimes I'll give them to her. And nope, nobody has them, nobody has them. Well, I was talking with Chuck, the person from the Seventh Day that kind of facilitates the building, and we talk all the time. And I said, Chuck, he was telling me about something else. He called me, and I said, I got to tell you. He said, I lost the keys to the church. I can't find them anywhere. Has anybody turned them in or whatever? He said, no. He said, but I'll pray. And he said, because God shows me things when I pray. And he went into testimony of how he had lost certain things. He was working on a car, lost some bolts. He knew right where he put them. They weren't there. He walked around and looked everywhere, uncovered everything. And then he said, Lord, this has gone on long enough. I need you to show me where those bolts are. I need them to put the radiator back in. And he went back to the very spot that he knew that they were. And they were sitting right there. And he feels like the angels were going, we just wanted to wait how long it would take you to ask God where they were, right? And so anyway, he said, I'll pray for you. So he prayed for me, and 2 hours later, I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I'm to the bed, and a place where they'd never be, but right down below the bed were sitting these keys that had been there the whole time. I must have been in that area for, you know, every night, obviously, but they showed up. Come on. You might think, well, that's nothing. That's everything to me. That's everything to me because God's in the details. God cares about your keys. God cares about your everything. Amen. Did you have a testimony?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And it goes on. It's just asking and trusting in Him.
Amen. Amen. He's in the lost wallets. He's in everything. It's so just so good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Karen. Yeah. Wow, isn't that something? So God will restore our keys. He'll restore our wallets and everything. It's so good. Sharon. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Because they all got together and ministered to me.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? Come on. God is good. He's good. He's in the details, isn't he? And you telling your story to other people is what a testimony is all about. That's what witnessing. You're just witnessing about what God has done for you. And these little things make such a difference. Amen? These little things make such a difference. So I would encourage you to brag on God when you have an opportunity.
Amen.
Right? Whether it's lost keys, lost wallet, locked car, you know, whatever it is, God is in the details. Amen?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about the mustard seed.
Amen.
Mustard seed. As I was... I saw something on Facebook that actually spurred this on, and some of you may have seen it, but it was a mustard seed on a finger like this, and I don't remember the quote, but it was basically saying, here I come, right? Come on, look out, because faith is on the move. Faith is here, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what's going on, no matter what's being spoken to me about what I'm going through, what my body is telling me, what my finances are telling me. Look at this. Look at this. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 18, Jesus said this. What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? Think about that for a minute. Jesus is there, and think about, here's the kingdom of God. How should I explain it to you? You know, he was Jesus. I mean, he was Christ. He knew everything. He could have went on some lofty explanation of that went over everybody's head to explain what was going on. Have you ever met somebody like that? You know, you ask them a question about what they're doing or what they're repairing, and they go on for a half an hour, and you lost them at about three words because it was too far over you. But they were in their glory; they were continuing. But this is what Jesus said, and I think this is interesting. It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden. And when it grew, it became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. What's the kingdom of God like? The kingdom of God is like taking something very small and allowing God to work with it, and it can be a great harvest. What is the kingdom of God? Now, here's the deal that's so interesting to me. He said that the kingdom of God is within you. Let me say that again, because it's just too incredible to me. The kingdom of God is not around you. It's not over there somewhere. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to get it. You don't have to go to Mecca to get it. You don't have to go to some other place to get it. You don't even have to go to church to get it. The kingdom of God is within you. What does that mean? You have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you, who is the ambassador, the advocate, the one who gives direction. He's in there for you, and his kingdom is available to you 24/7, all of your life, every day of your life, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. The kingdom of God is within you, but it's as a mustard seed. Whoo, glory to God. Glory to God. Go now to chapter 17. Chapter 17 of Luke. And we're going to look at verse 5. Let's start at verse 5. It says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Have you ever asked the Lord to do that for you? Come on, Lord, I know I got a problem here. I believe you, Lord, but like the man said, help my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. I want to believe more. I want to trust you more. I want to have the results of faith more. I want to please you more. Increase our faith. And again, faith is nothing more than confidence that what God said He'll do. Right? If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I think if God said it, that settles it. My belief is just a bonus. But watch this now. This is so good. He says this. He says in verse 6, the Lord said, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, in other words, say, increase our faith. You don't need a lot. You just need a mustard seed. And I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed. It's very, 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 very tiny. Very tiny. But here's the thing with seeds. For seeds to grow, you have to prepare the soil. Right? And after you prepare the soil, then you have to plant the seed. And the seed in itself won't grow unless it's germinated, so it must be soaked in water. We're talking about a mustard seed, but the mustard seed is the comparison for faith that's inside of us. God wants you to know that He's still working on the seed that He's given you. You know, different seeds germinate at different times. There are some seeds, like there's a fir tree in California that will only germinate after a forest fire. Interesting, right? But watch this. God wants us to prepare our hearts to be ready for the seed. But here's something else. There are some seeds that can lay dormant for thousands and thousands of years and then under the right conditions pop up and start growing again. Here's what I want to tell you. I believe even this morning that God has some seed that's been sown in your heart that He's still waiting for it to be germinated. Watch. But He hasn't left it. He hasn't given up on it. Maybe you have, but He hasn't. And He wants you to stir it up again. Amen. He wants you to believe in your belief again. He wants you to have faith in His ability in your life to accomplish the very things that He's spoken to you. Amen. It's time for us to look at faith in a different light, in a faith from this standpoint, that God, if You said it, that settles it for me. And it doesn't matter the duration. It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't even matter what the harvest looks like. Lord, I'm just trusting You with the seed. I'm trusting You with the seed. How many have ever blown it? You're a Christian, you just believe God, and you know, you just love Jesus with all of your heart, but then you mess up. If you're like me, you sometimes, after a series of mess-ups, say, God, I don't even know why You like me. I don't even know why You love me. If I was You, I would have given up on me a long time ago. So from my viewpoint, I must be a little less in Your eyes than I was before. But you see, the faith that's been put in your heart, that mustard seed of faith in your heart, was the first time that you realized that God loved you. That God really loved you. See, it's one thing for God to love the world, and it's out there. And you can agree with that. Yes, praise God. That's awesome. God loves everybody. But when it comes down to that position where you have to say, but does God really love me? When that happens, it changes your life. that seed, that mustard seed of God's love, of faith in His love, is planted inside of your heart. Glory to God. But there are times where the enemy will step on that and tell you that it's not true and it can't be true. He loved you once, but He doesn't love you now because you know what you did. I know what you did. God knows what you did. So you're a little more pathetic than God can tolerate. And God is saying that nothing is further from the truth. And you have to go back to the fact that God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. How many have ever committed a sin and go, God, and you're waiting on that forgiveness to come, you're waiting on that feeling to come, you're waiting for that to happen, and you just go, oh God, 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 God. You're waiting for this event to happen where you're washed over with the glory of God and everything seems right and peaceful on the inside of you. And what I'm saying today is that you have to take the mustard seed back out and say that seed is already there. It doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter what's happened. He said He loved me. He said, watch this, perfect love, or love that's been perfected, casts out all fear because fear has torment. In other words, the more that you know that God loves you, the less fear can hold you. Why? Because if God be for me, who can be against me? If God loves me, then what do these circumstances have anything to do with anything? I know that I'm secured in His love. What does that have to do with the mustard seed? What the has to do is that seed has been planted in your heart. It's been cultivated into your heart, but you have to water it. And the other thing that you have to do is you have to pull out the weeds. I said you have to pull out the weeds. Because the weeds will come, but the weeds cannot stay if you'll take the word and cast them out. Come on. Go to Mark chapter 4. Y'all know this particular scripture, but I want to just read it in light of the mustard seed. And don't take this from the standpoint that, boy, that was a good sermon. What I want you to take it from the standpoint is that I'm going to use this today. I'm going to think about it tomorrow, and I'm going to have it working in my life next week and going on from here. Mark chapter 4 is the story of the sower. And let's just start out in verse 14. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. Everybody say, the sower sows the word. So that mustard seed that we were talking about that produces faith must be sown. The sower sows the word. Watch this. And these are the ones where the on the wayside where the word is sown, where they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that is sown into their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown on among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. So I believe that mustard seed is available and working in all of us and available to all of us. But are we letting it work? Come on, are we letting it work? Because if that will be planted, if that will be watered, if that will be cultivated, if we'll weed our garden, then a harvest is absolutely the result. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to tell you, this is awesome. I lost my keys, remember? And I was going, oh, God, I've got to call Chuck. I've got to tell him my lot. I've got to humble myself before him. Chuck gets on the phone. He says, and this was, well, I'll pray. And it wasn't like, I'll pray for you, you know, one of those prayers. It was, I'll pray. But when I pray, they'll be found. Because when I pray, it's found. You see, he had gotten a mustard seed of faith years ago when he couldn't find those bolts for his car. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I was waiting for you to ask. I know where they are. But that seed had been planted inside of him. He had let it grow. He watered it throughout the years and praying for people. Come on. And all of a sudden, it's bearing fruit. I got the keys. I found the keys. What am I saying to you? That God wants you to become confident that he's with you. He wants you to be confident that he's for you. He wants you to be confident that he answers prayers. Why? Because he loves you, for one. But the second reason is so that your harvest can be seen by those who don't know him. Shoo, come on. Are you confident when somebody has a need, you say, listen, I'll pray for you and it'll be all right. You can if that seed has been sown and has been worked in your life to such a thing that it's automatic to you that, yeah, I'm sure when I pray, something's going to happen. When I pray, something will happen. When I pray, something will happen. Years ago, and this was years ago, I was praying for this gal, and she had been manifesting some demons. And she was brought to me, and I was talking with her. And I talked with her before I prayed for her, and I said, do you want to get rid of this? I said, because when I pray, they've got to go. But if I pray and they go, and you want them, they'll come back worse than you've got them now. So I need to know if you want to get rid of these or not. To her credit, she said, no, I'm good with them. Right? Because it gave her something, right? But watch this. Here's what I knew. I knew that if I prayed in the name of Jesus, they had to go. Why? Because I'd seen people be delivered before. I'd watched demons flee from people before. I watched one woman who I just wanted to pray to bless her. And as soon as I laid hands on her, her eyes rolled to the back of her head and a man's voice came out. What do you do with that? See ya, gotta go. No, you use the name of Jesus, but I put faith as a mustard seed into my heart that his Bible says that I can pray for those to be delivered using the name of Jesus and they must flee. And I developed that to where there was a harvest. Do you understand? So it was that seed, but working that seed over the years gave me the confidence that in the name of Jesus, they had to obey me. Everything starts out as a seed, and it won't produce fruit until it's watered and it grows. But I'm telling you that there's some in this room where the seed has been sown many years ago and it's lying dormant, but it doesn't mean that it cannot be germinated and come to fruition and let the seed of that come forth in Jesus' name. What has God promised you? Right? And honestly, it's for everything. And he's worried about the keys. He's worried about us locking ourselves out of the car. He's worried about that. But you know what? None of that makes a hill of beans difference for eternity. The real thing that God is worried about and that we should be concerned with are souls. Are we still believing God to answer our prayers and to see people saved, or if we've given up on the United States and we've given up on, well, you know, it's the last days and things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Yeah, but we're supposed to be the light in the midst of the darkness. We have to believe that when we show up, He shows up. We have to believe that even when we don't know how to speak to somebody, that the Spirit of God on the inside of us will allow us to. I believe in the midst of persecution, we have to let that mustard seed grow so that it comes forth stronger and there'll be more fruit from it. Amen. Come on. The seed of His Word. Hallelujah. First, we have to prepare our hearts, and the Holy Spirit's the one that does that. How many ever have made this statement? Well, I came to the Lord in 1977 or whatever it was. I came to the Lord. Well, you didn't come to the Lord. He came to you. Right? I mean, that's the truth. I understand the statement, and it's awesome, but and the reality of it is that, you know, in 1997 and in August, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. But it's He that came to me through, watch this, through other people that drew me to Him. It's still the same today. You have got kids, you've got probably grandkids, you've got siblings, you've got cousins, you've got people that you know that you work with, that God wants to use you to create a harvest for Him. So let that seed that's been planted on the inside of you, that He gave you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and that nothing shall by any means hurt you, let that come to life again. Let you begin to understand again that His power not only is working in me, that's awesome, but it's more prudent, and Paul said this in many different ways, it's more prudent not that God's power is working in me, but that God's power is working through me for you. Glory to God. Because that seed needs to be planted, it needs to be grown, but then it needs to reach out so that the fruit can affect others. Hallelujah. Now watch this. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not hearing the Word of God, there's nothing for the seed to be produced in. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we speak on marriage with this particular verse, and it's good that we do. But I want you to read this again, and read it as it's being spoken here. In Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 25. And of course, this is the one, if we're doing a marriage seminar, we'd come to Ephesians chapter 5, and, you know, we'd do all of the things with it. But I just want you to read this again in verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives." Everybody know that's a good thing to do. And men, that's a command, right? But I don't want to get into that today. "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church." Just as Christ loved the church. Christ loves the church. You are the church. Christ loves you. Watch, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. Today, the same process is being worked. If you want that seed to grow, you've got to continually let the Spirit of God, who reveals Christ to us, use the Word of God to wash over us continually. How many think you know it all? right? How many have been, you know, I've read the word, I know it. Right? You might have read the same scripture 1,000 times, but the Holy Spirit can take that, and if you'll let Him wash it over you, it can change you forever.
Amen.
By the washing of the water of the Word. So impressive. So incredible. How He can do that. Many times, I'll be reading the same word over and over again, and all of a sudden something will pop out of that, and I've never seen that before.
Amen.
What's happening? The Spirit of God, who Jesus said would teach you all things that concern Him, is taking the very seed that is the Word of God and washing it over your heart. And it's going to produce. Hallelujah. I've said this before, but I think it's true. It's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I was meditating on that about a year or 2 years ago, and the Lord spoke to me and said, faith comes by hearing, not having heard. I went, what? Faith comes by hearing, not having heard. What do you mean? He says, you can't build faith on what you heard 30 years ago. It needs to be relevant today. You can't build your faith on hearsay. A book might be good. A testimony might be good. But it's the word that you hear that your faith is built on. So what am I saying? I'm saying we've all got that mustard seed. But we need to get back into the Word of God and begin to let it wash over us on a continual basis. I know it's hot. It's been hot the last few days, last month or so. There have been times where, years ago, hiking up in the mountains, hot, just miserably hot, but just going along with 30, 40 pounds on your back and just up a trail, and you finally get to this creek. And in the creek, it's cold, man, because it's coming from the mountain. It's cold, but there's a little waterfall there, and you just take the backpack off, you take your shoes off, and you get right under that creek and just let, on that waterfall, just sit in it and just let it wash over you, and it's completely refreshing. You forget about the heat. You forget about everything else because the water is washing away all of the tiredness, all of the worry, all of the restraint. You're just sitting there. You're just, The Holy Spirit wants to take the Word of God that you have in your hands, you have at your disposal. He wants to take that and put you in a place where you can just go, Perfect peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. But you must make yourself available to the Word of God. You must, listen, you must believe that the Word is. Let me say that again. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that you must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But look, at Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. Right? So you must believe that the Word is. And that if you'll diligently seek the Word, He will reward you. Openly. Right? We want that mustard seed to produce. Get back into the Word. Begin to speak it over yourself. Begin to meditate on it. Begin to think about it. The same miracles that happened to you because you were quoting the Word way back when can happen again if you'll begin to use the Word to let it wash over you again. Sometimes life happens, we get going. And we just go, well, you know, I know that. We don't have the 3x5 cards anymore. We're not quoting the Word over ourselves anymore. We're not looking at the promises as something that God wants to do for me anymore. And we're not giving God an opportunity to be the miraculous one that He is in our lives. What am I going to do? I'm going to worship Him. What am I going to do? I'm going to praise Him. What am I going to do? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. I believe God, and He will cause me to be victorious in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And we've read it many times, but in Mark 11 and 22 through 24, it says that if we want the mountain to move, that we've got to speak to the mountain. Oftentimes we're saying, God, would you speak to my mountain? And he said, no, I gave you the power and the authority and the position on the earth to speak to your own mountain. Somebody said this, I thought it was great. He said, we spend more time talking to God about our mountain than we do to the mountain about our God. Come on, this ain't no thing. I said, this ain't no thing. If God be for me, who can be against me? Devil, what are you trying to tell me? Listen, a mustard seed that's been planted on the inside of you still wants to grow. But you've got to water it again. You've got to cultivate it again. And you've got to pull out the weeds. Because there's thorns and there's thistles and there's all kinds of stuff that's been put in your life by events, by other people's actions, by the enemy lying to you, by discouragement, by disappointment. And God is saying, listen, you need to pull all that stuff out because I've got a mustard seed for you and I want that thing to grow and produce, but it will not produce if you're bogged down by the cares of this world or by the things that are choking you and not allowing you to see again, not allowing you to believe again, not allowing you to dream again, not allowing you to be confident again. Hallelujah. I don't care how many times you fall and get back up. I don't care who said you can't. He said you can. Listen. I don't care how old you are. You're not too old that God can't use you. I don't care how young you are. It doesn't matter. The kids are winning. Listen, absolutely, God wants to move in your life again. God wants to use you again. But what do you say? Let me ask that again. What do you say? What do you say? Do you still believe that the Word of God is true? Do you still believe that He's the same God that He was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? Yeah. Do you still believe that He wants to use you? Yeah. Do you still believe that He's the same God who set you free before can set you free again? The same God who provided for you before can provide for you again. Hallelujah. He's our source for everything. I want to close with this. Hallelujah. And this isn't in the notes, so they don't have the scripture, though. Get it, though. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His command is the same. His purpose for you and me is the same. We're the same church that was back then. Verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What I want you to see, what I want you to know, what I want to put back in your heart, that God has commanded you to go. God has commanded me to go. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go preach and teach the gospel. Paul said it this way, I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come to you with the simplicity of Christ and Him crucified. You have the message, you have the power, and God wants you to know that that faith that He put inside of you will still produce if you'll water it and let it come to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. I want you to be encouraged this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that's watching online that couldn't make it today. I just ask you to bless them. And I want to speak right to you in the name of Jesus. Whatever you have need of, He's already provided. If you need finances, He's your provider. If you need healing, He's your healer. If you need comfort, He's your comforter. Whatever you need, He's provided for you. You don't have to work for it. You just have to accept it. So right now, just reach your hands to heaven and say, Lord, all that I have needed, you've provided. So I'm grateful for everything that you're doing in me and through me. And right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for touching people. I thank you for healing people. I thank you for providing for people. And Lord, if there's anybody that's listening to me that's never made the commitment to you to be saved, I ask you to speak to their hearts right now. If you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just do it. Just do it. And if you're not sure, ask Him to show Himself to you. And then watch out, because He will. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. Amen.